Make no mistake, one of the reasons we sometimes face giants in our lives is because we're living in sin.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, Pastor Brian Grant will finish the message begun last week, lessons to be learned from the faith of Joshua as he led the people of God to take possession of the Promised Land. They faced giants. We may face giants as we learn to trust God's promises as well. But Pastor Grant offers three R's that will gain mastery over giants every time. The first R is to rest in the certainty of God's presence. That's where we will pick up the message again this evening. So here again is Pastor Grant with the conclusion of facing the giants in your life.
So what was the first R? When we face a giant, we must what? Rest in the certainty of God's presence. But here is the second one. We must resolve to totally obey God's instructions. We must resolve to totally obey God's instruction. Some of us are born rebels. Am I right about that? Some people are born rebels. They disobey every rule. And so let's read here. Because if we're serious about getting God's help, we must obey him. The rebellion won't work so well. I'm in Joshua chapter 6, and I'm reading from verses 1 through 5 in Joshua chapter 6. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. Nobody was going in or out. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all your men of war. You shall go all around the city once. You shall do 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a loud blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great voice." Then what happens? Then what? The wall of the city will fall down? Is that God's plan? Did God really expect them to follow that plan? Didn't we just talk about the city having double walls that were impenetrable? And God is saying, all you got to do is walk around the thing 1 time for 6 days. On the 7th day, you walk around 7 times and you blow. I don't think God understands the complexity of the situation. I don't think God recognizes that these walls are double walls that are impenetrable. And you see, this is how we think. Perhaps you're going through something right now and you're saying, what the Bible says I'm to do, does God really understand? Is he dealing with reality? Are you with me this morning? Is God dealing with reality? Does God understand the 2020s? Or is he stuck somewhere back in the past? But thank God, we have a daddy who knows exactly what is going on. Amen. He knows exactly what is going on. God's answers sometimes seem simplistic, but God knows exactly what to do. You know, we often make things much more difficult than we need to. And I want us to take a note of a very well-known passage of Scripture, because sometimes we read it, but we really don't meditate on it. So let's hold your finger in Joshua, but let's go to Proverbs chapter 3 for a moment. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 12. Here's how it reads in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 12. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Do you know sometimes that we face giants? We feel like we're up against. Sometimes it's the chastening of the Lord. But the Bible says, don't despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. This passage has so much wisdom. We need to go home and meditate on it. But I want to leave you just three takeaways. Just three takeaways from this text in context with what we're talking about. One, write this down. I must trust God fully, not my intellect. Oh, I hope somebody's listening this to me. Sometimes our biggest problem is that we're just too smart. We're just too brilliant, or we think we are. I must trust God fully, not my intellect, and allow him to direct my life. Amen? I must allow him to direct my life. Is that where we are before God this morning as we sit in God's presence? Are we there? Are we at the point in our lives when we are trusting God fully and allowing him to direct? Here's the second takeaway. I must not be impressed by my own wisdom. Today, some of us need to go home and say to God, God, I'm coming your way. God, I realize you have blessed me to have so much education. But God, I'm not trusting my wisdom. I'm depending on you. I must not be impressed with my own wisdom. Instead, I must fear the Lord and turn from evil. Amen. Here's the third takeaway. I must not be upset with the Lord's discipline. For the Lord disciplines those he loves. The only reason God disciplines us is because he what? He loves us. So don't get bent out of shape. Allow God to work in your life through the discipline he brings into your life. We need to take these verses seriously. For in the day-to-day decisions of life, many Christians are choosing to follow their intellect or their experience rather than following God and his word. And sadly, even preachers are taking our own wisdom and our own intellect. And we're telling you, don't even bother pay attention to some of these verses of scripture. We're changing the whole game. But thank God, he reminds us today to resolve to totally obey God's instructions. If we really want God's help when we face giants, we must determine to totally obey his instructions. You know, to get on any major highway, we have to use a side road called the on-ramp. Am I right about that? And sometimes cars are flying on the highway. Here we are trying to merge. We're on the on-ramp trying to merge onto the highway. And people are coming so fast. So we usually, if you're sensible, of course, every now and then you see some crazy lunatic. They're on the on-ramp. And they obviously don't look behind them. They just dart in. You ever seen that? But we usually slow down and look back. Because the people on the highway have the right of way. God, listen, God always has the right of way. In my life, in your life, we had better realize that God always has the right of way. And it is not for God to slow down.
It is not for God to look behind him. It is not for God to try and find out what is your plan. Are you with me this morning? It is for you to discover God's plan and merge into his plan. Align your life. I must align my life into God's plan because God has the right of way. I must resolve to totally obey God's instructions. I must resolve that my life is going to be lived according to God's plan. I must determine to carry out his purpose for my life. Because he made me and he knows exactly what I need. Amen. Some of you have big issues. Some of us have big issues. The preacher has his issues too. Amen. Some of us have big issues that we're dealing with right now. For some, it's medical. For some, it's financial. For some, it's a career decision. For others, it's a personal decision. For others, it's decisions regarding your children's schooling and education. For some, it's family decisions. Whatever it is, God is asking you today, will you make a decision to totally obey my instructions? That's the question. Am I going to obey God's instructions or am I going to go by my intellect? There's a way that seems right to a man. But the end of thereof, the Bible says, is the way of death. It leads to destruction. A way that seems right. I urge you, as I urge myself this morning, might we determine, listen, resolve to totally obey God's instructions. Perhaps you're facing a mountain or a giant that seems invincible. Oh, I'm so glad. Oh, I'm so glad. Oh, we got a break sometime, but sometime when we have the testimony time, nobody wants to give a testimony. But what a God. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Listen, the song says, he moves mountains. He causes walls to fall. And this God can deal with every giant we face. You know, sometimes I look and I'm glad for some of the challenges I've had. You know, it helps a preacher sometimes. You know, some preachers never ever have no problems. Or problems you know about. But I've got mine. And I can tell you, in October, when I realized I could not speak or understand, it was a challenge. I knew I could pray. So even though I couldn't speak intelligently, isn't that amazing? I couldn't speak or understand anybody, but I could talk to God. I never thought of that until now. I was praying as intelligently as you can imagine, but I couldn't speak a word of intelligence. But the prayer that the Lord God in heaven heard my prayer. And hallelujah, he heard your prayers. Hallelujah, we have a mighty God. He causes walls to fall. He moves mountains. We can trust him. Hallelujah. So what have we said so far? What have we said so far? We said we should rest, what? In the certainty of God's word. Help me out with the message. Second, what? We are to resolve to totally obey God's instructions. But the third and final thing, don't worry. Third and final thing, resist the temptation to gratify the flesh. Resist the temptation to gratify the flesh. We're back to Joshua. Joshua chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Verse 17 and 18. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction. Joshua is telling the people now before the final day. The city shall be doomed. It and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live. She and all who are with her in the house. Because she hid the messengers that we sent. And he says, and you by all means Abstain from taking any of the stuff. Don't take anything, lest you become accursed when you take the stuff and you make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But chapter 7, verse 1 says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, he took some of the stuff. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. And look what God did in verse 24. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, all the stuff he took, the clothing and the gold, and they took his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all he had. They brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So they stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Wow! You know, sometimes we play with God, and then when we recognize that God is a God of vengeance and judgment and justice, we're bent out of shape. Make no mistake, one of the reasons we sometimes face giants in our lives is because we're living in sin. Isn't that true? One of the reasons we face giants, and God had just given Israel a miraculous victory over Jericho. But while the rest of the people were worshiping God, Achan was busy gratifying the flesh and taking stuff. He was taking all the goods. Everybody's worshiping, and he's doing exactly the opposite. He's doing what God had forbidden. He knew what God had said. And he had just seen the awesome power of God. But he foolishly believed he could disobey God and get away with it. You know, I've run into Christians who do that. Have you ever run into a Christian who do that? We know what God is awesome, has awesome power. But we will still think we can get away with this. Write this down. When we live to gratify the flesh, we hurt ourselves, our children, and what? Our family. And this is what sometimes I think we miss. When we live to gratify the flesh, we hurt ourselves. We're hurting the children we say we will do everything for. And we are hurting our family. And it is so sad. Achan's entire family was put to death. And no one in the church may know what's going on in your life and in my life. God warns us, be sure your sin will find you out. And my brother and sister, as we bring this message presently in the next few minutes to a close, it's time for a change. Amen. It's time for a change. It's time for us to make a new commitment to God that we will stop gratifying the flesh and that we will live a life totally consecrated to God. I'm asking you, God is asking us this morning, is your all, is my all on the altar laid? Am I living a life of consecration to God, or am I messing around with some of the accursed things? Am I giving place to the flesh? You see, my friend, sin is going to mess us up if we're Christians. But if you're not saved, sin is going to doom you. But thank God there is hope today. Thank God for what happened to Rahab. When we first met Rahab in Joshua chapter 2, the Bible tells us she was running a brothel. She was in the business of selling sex. But she placed her faith in God.
and risk her life to save the spies God had sent. And because of her faith, God totally transformed Rahab's life. What a mighty God we serve. I'm so glad we have this type of, He is our God, a God who is willing to forgive no matter how far off track we have gone. Amen. No matter how much mess we have made. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse us from all sin. And this morning, He's coming to where you are at. And He's saying, listen, if you're a Christian and you're playing fast and loose with God, it's time to reconsecrate your life to God. And if you don't know Jesus, come and receive Him as your Savior. In Luke 18, Jesus told the story of two men who went up to pray. One man thought he was okay. Oh, may God help you this morning that you stop saying, I'm okay. Sometimes we're so smug, I'm okay. Two guys went up to pray. One guy, he said he was okay. And here's what he prayed. He said, God, I thank you. I'm not like other people. Oh, I'm so glad I'm not like them. Look at them. I'm so glad I'm not like them. Then he went on to brag how good he was. But the other man felt so ashamed. He wouldn't even lift up his head, the Bible said. All he said with sincerity of heart, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Bible said that man, the one who recognized he was a mess, he went to God and said, God be merciful. God heard his prayer and transformed his life. God wants to transform somebody's life this morning. Perhaps a person who's messing with sin, perhaps a person who's never been saved. God wants to transform your life. Listen, as we face our giants, let us rest in the certainty of God's presence. Let us resolve to totally obey God's instructions. And let us resist the temptation to gratify the flesh. And it all begins at the cross. I trust you will come to Jesus today. Father, thank you. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for our sins. We thank you, God, that because of that, we have eternal life, those of us who receive Him. We thank you that even during our journey as we face these giants, you have promised you will never, ever leave us or forsake us. I pray for that brother or sister, that teenager, that young person who's struggling with something in their life. Give them victory today, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.